Good morning.
How y'all doing? Okay, that wasn't too convincing, but I'll take that. It's going to be blazing hot out there today, right? Awesome. I love it. I do. I love summer. I've shared that with you guys before. You know that about me, right? You know that I don't mind the heat. I don't care if it's 100 degrees. I love summer because I think about when it's like 10 degrees, and the snow's blowing, and there's ice everywhere, and that I really don't like. So there is quite a bit that you guys know about me. Some of you maybe not so much. I like to try and share a little bit about myself so you guys get to know me better. And one of the things that I'm going to share with you this morning is that I grew up in the church. I grew up in a good Christian home. And it's interesting because when I was a teenager, I walked away from the church. I said, I don't need this. I don't need God. I don't need any of this stuff. I walked away from the church. And it's really an amazing story, the way that God rescued me from this life of sin that I found myself in. It's a story of amazing grace. It truly is amazing grace. And that could probably be a sermon series all by itself. But I do have some pretty clear recollections of when I was quite small growing up in the church. And I remember this map that was on the wall. It was pretty big. It had a bunch of different colored pins in it that had these ribbons attached to them. And these pins were stuck mostly in places that I had never really thought much about. I mean, when you're 4 or 5 years old, do you think about China? Do you think about Japan? Do you think about Africa? But that's where these pins were. And this map was the missions map. See, one of the functions of this church was to send missionaries. And these pins, they represented the missionaries that the church supported. And by each pin was a picture of the missionary from that region. Now, for the most part, I had never met any of these people before. Now, occasionally, a missionary would come to visit the church. I mean, I was a little kid. I didn't pay any attention to what was going on around me, especially when it came to church. But see, that was my idea of what missions was. That's what I thought missions was. People that I don't know sent to places that I don't really think much about, or for that matter, care much about, doing something that I really don't understand. That was my idea of what a mission was. You ever find yourself thinking along those lines that missions, you know, that's good for those foreign lands, you know, those people that need God over there? But that's not me. That's not what I'm called to. I'm not sent. Well, if you're here today and you're thinking that, you're going to find out this morning that you're wrong. Because it's not just those overseas missionaries that are sent. Friends, we are all sent. Now, today is the last message in our series on discipleship. So we're gonna review a little bit, and we're going to wrap this whole thing up when it comes to discipleship. Because what we've been doing is looking very closely at what it means to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. Our goal in this little investigation that we've been doing is to truly understand discipleship, right? What is a disciple? And we've done that by defining what a disciple believes, how a disciple acts, what a disciple does. And we've been using, if you remember, a definition as our framework to kind of guide us on this journey. And this definition that we've created has been reinforced by Scripture. Over the past weeks, we've dissected and pulled away and looked at very closely our definition, and we've looked for scriptural backing for each segment of that definition. So it's based on what the Bible tells us about discipleship. And most of this is coming right from the mouth of Jesus. These are Jesus' own words that tell us what is a disciple. So let's just review our definition real quick. Can we put that up? Awesome. So we said that a disciple is one who is called by Jesus to follow Him, responds to that call, and embarks on a lifelong journey, transformed by His teaching, seeking to live as Christ lived, the life of a servant, and seeks to share the gospel of grace and salvation with all. So that's our definition. That's our framework that we've been working in. Now let me ask you this. Does anyone remember what started this all? I'm going to take you back to our first Sunday back, June 14th. You guys remember that? June 14th. That was the first Sunday back from our quarantine, right? We talked about goal setting. Remember? We talked about goal setting. We talked about how important that is for us as individuals, but it is as important, if not more so, for us as a church. Right? I mean, it's hard to know where you're going if you aren't clear on what it is you're doing or why you're doing it. And if you remember, I shared with you the great pains that the steering team went to develop our vision and mission statements. And these statements that we developed are meant to guide us and help us to make decisions about ministries, about things that have to do with the church. That's how we make decisions. So our vision statement is what we want to achieve here as a church. And we said that we want to see lives changed because Hope Church cares. That's our vision, is to see lives changed. And how we're going to do that is defined by our mission statement. Our mission statement creates those boundaries in which we operate, in which we make decisions. And our mission statement says that we want to honor God by loving our neighbors, sharing the gospel, and caring for each other. And if you remember, we made the point that all of this is biblical. This is all based on what we see in the Bible, Scripture, our ultimate authority, right? So what about loving our neighbors? Is that biblical? Absolutely. What did Jesus say was the second greatest command? Love your neighbor. Absolutely. It's biblical. What about sharing the gospel? Is that biblical? Definitely. Definitely. We've looked at Matthew 28 a number of times before. The Great Commission. Jesus said, go and make disciples of all nations. And of course, caring for each other. Is that biblical? Absolutely. It's being obedient to Jesus' command to love one another. It's all biblical. But what prompted this discussion over the last 6 weeks really was this one word that we saw in the Great Commission, and that is the word disciple. Jesus tells us, because the Bible speaks to us today, right? This isn't just a record of something that was said 2,000 years ago to some people we don't know, right? The Bible speaks to us today, and Jesus tells us to go and make disciples. So we're commanded by God to go and make disciples. And in order to obey that command, we must know what a disciple is, right? We can't make something if we don't know what it is. And we can't encourage someone to be something that we're not ourselves. So we decided that we were going to look very closely at this, and we were also going to look at ourselves here, right? We're going to look in the mirror of God's Word, and we're going to do an honest self-assessment and answer that very important question, am I a disciple of Jesus Christ? And we saw that early on, this is incredibly important because we are all called to discipleship because a disciple is called, right? We learned that. A disciple is called. Jesus loves each and every one of us, and He wants a relationship with us. His desire is that everyone would come to a saving knowledge of the gospel. Everyone. He came that whoever believes in Him would not perish but have what? Eternal life, right? Absolutely. We're all called, but it's how we respond to that call that makes all the difference in the world. We saw how Jesus called the first disciples to what? Follow Him, right? He said, follow Me, I'll make you fishers of men. And we saw that those men, they dropped everything. They dropped everything to follow Jesus. And what did they do? They denied themselves, right? That's what following Jesus means, is you deny yourself. They denied themselves. They took up their cross and they followed Him. And they embarked upon this lifelong journey of following Jesus. And when Jesus calls us, that's exactly what we're called to as well. We say goodbye to our old selves. We become a new creation in Jesus Christ. And we begin this lifelong journey of being a disciple and following Him. Because a disciple is a follower. A disciple is a follower. And we no longer conform to the pattern of this world. But we are what? Transformed. Absolutely. We are transformed by the renewing of our minds. We're transformed by the teachings of Jesus Christ. The Word, Jesus, the Logos, Jesus, has the power to fundamentally change our lives. It can change our behaviors. There's no doubt about that. As we study Scripture, as we feed our minds, right? That's where it all starts. It starts in the mind. We pour into our intellect this knowledge. And then the knowledge is used by the Holy Spirit to change the desires of your heart. Because a disciple is transformed. A disciple is transformed. And we then live transformed lives by the power of the Holy Spirit. And as we live these transformed lives, who's our model? Jesus, absolutely. Jesus is the one that we model our lives after. Everything He did was an act of service for others. Everything He did was for us. Jesus was a servant. And a true disciple of Jesus seeks to live as Jesus did, the life of a servant. From the moment that we believe, we begin the process of becoming more and more like Christ, right? We learned a theology 101 word along the way, right? We are being sanctified, right? We are being sanctified by the power of the Holy Spirit. We're becoming more and more like Christ. We're exhibiting more and more Christ-like characters. A disciple is a servant, right? We learn that. And you know what? If we look at our definition, we've almost covered everything. Almost. Put it up one more time. So a disciple is one who's called by Jesus to follow Him, responds to that call, and embarks upon a lifelong journey. Covered that, right? Transformed by His teaching. Covered that. Seeking to live as Christ lived, the life of a servant. Covered that. That just leaves one last phrase. And there it says a disciple seeks to share the gospel of grace and salvation with all. And this, friends, is where it all comes full circle. We come all the way back. This started at the Great Commission, and we're going to kind of finish with the Great Commission. Because Jesus has commanded us to go. He's put us on this earth to glorify Him and spread the good news of the gospel because a disciple is sent. Now, to expand on this, we're going to look at a passage from Paul's letter to the Romans. And this passage really kind of plays off of the Great Commission. Paul is reflecting what Jesus commanded in Matthew 28. And we're going to look at chapter 10 of Romans, verses 9 through 17. So if you want to turn in your Bibles to Romans 10, that's where we're going to kind of live this morning. And Romans is such an awesome book. It really is, because in it we find the most detailed expression of Paul's theology anywhere in Scripture. And Romans can be a little challenging to understand, but remember, if we ask the Holy Spirit to open our eyes to the truths of the Scripture, the Holy Spirit will tell us what Paul wants us to know. So let's look at Romans 10, starting at verse 9. There Paul writes, "If you declare with your mouth, Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you profess your faith and are saved." Now that sounds pretty simple, right? And pretty straightforward. And friends, that is the essence of the gospel. We've talked about this previously in our series, though. Just saying it, right? Just declaring it, just saying, "I'm a Christian," that doesn't make you a Christian. A few weeks ago, we looked at a passage from Matthew 15 where Jesus quoted from Isaiah 29 and said, "These people honor me with their lips," in other words, they declare, "but their hearts are far from me." In other words, they say all those right things, right? They know the Scriptures, but their heart is far from God. So we made the point to begin our series, and Paul is reinforcing it here, that it isn't enough to just say it. It isn't enough to declare with your mouth. No, you must believe in your heart. And remember, it all begins in the mind. And the Holy Spirit uses that to transform the heart. It isn't enough to declare with your heart, with your mouth. You must believe in your heart. So what this boils down to is, without some sort of accompanying action, and we've talked about this, right? Without some sort of accompanying action, in this case, Paul saying, declare with your mouth, there is no true belief. Elsewhere, Jesus agrees that action is associated with true belief. Jesus tells us to deny ourselves. He tells us to take up our cross if we believe. He tells us to obey Him if we believe. He says, love one another if you believe. Our actions, friend, become a direct result of what it is we truly believe. So just saying it is not enough. That doesn't get it done. Paul goes on to say, as Scripture says, anyone who believes in Him will never be put to shame. For there is no difference between Jew and Gentile. The same Lord is Lord of all and richly blesses all who call on Him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. And Paul, he's making the point here that we're all the same. We're all the same. There's no differences. God bestows His saving riches on all, Jew, Gentile, male, female, red, black, white, purple. We're all the same. We're all one in Christ Jesus. And Paul quotes Joel 2:32 when he says, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. That's the gospel, right? That's the gospel. And then in verses 14 and 15, Paul asks four rhetorical questions. Four rhetorical, very important questions. He says, how then can they call on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one of whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can anyone preach unless they are what? Sent. As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring the good news. And these are the four questions that take us right back to Matthew 28, right back to the Great Commission. Because these four questions follow the chain of events necessary for one to be saved. People can't call on Christ if they don't believe in Him. And they can't believe if they don't know about Him. Remember that belief begins in the mind. The information is poured into the intellect. Only then can the Holy Spirit use that to change the heart. And where are they going to get the information that's poured into their minds unless someone shares it with them? And how can anyone share the gospel unless they are sent? Friends, make no mistake, we are all sent to share that gospel. In John 20, 21, Jesus tells His disciples, and again, He's speaking to us, right? Because the Bible speaks to us. It is relevant for today. The Bible is speaking to us, and Jesus tells us, as the Father has sent Me, I am sending you. After Jesus was resurrected from the dead, and right before He ascended back up into heaven, Luke records another commission. It's not the Great Commission that we see in Matthew 28, but Luke records another commission in Acts 1, verse 8. He says there, you, meaning Jesus' disciples, Jesus is speaking to His disciples. So again, He's speaking to us, right? Jesus says, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be My witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. And I want you to notice these words here, will be. These words will be are in the indicative. Okay? It's not the imperative, it's in the indicative. So it really isn't a command, but it is a statement of fact. When the Holy Spirit comes on you, you will be My witnesses. And we know, friends, that from the moment we place our trust in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, the Holy Spirit takes up residence in our hearts and begins the work of making us more and more like Christ, right? That transforming power of the Holy Spirit. We are being sanctified. We will be witnesses. And Paul continues in verses 16 and 17 to say, but not all the Israelites accepted the good news. For Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed our message? Consequently, faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word about Christ. And here Paul is making the point that not everyone who hears the gospel is going to believe. We know that, right? Certainly, hearing the gospel is necessary for salvation. The information must go in. But we know from experience that some will reject it. And it never changes their hearts, because their hearts are hardened to it. And isn't it kind of hard to understand? Isn't it sort of hard to understand? Because salvation, friends, is simple, right? Paul has boiled it down here. He's made it very simple. It's not complicated. If it's so simple, why do some people reject it? Now, let me tell you, it's because they refuse to humble themselves before God. They refuse to humbly accept Jesus. They refuse to accept and put their trust in the Word. It's pride. We've talked about this. It's pride. That's what is the big barrier to reconciliation with God. And in verse 17 there, Paul just sums up his entire argument. He just puts it all into one little package there. One can only come to faith through hearing the gospel. And that message that must be heard is the word of Christ, which is the good news about Jesus Christ as the crucified and risen Savior of the world. And friends, we are sent to share that gospel of salvation with the world. That's what our definition says. That's exactly what our definition says. We are called as disciples of Jesus Christ to share the gospel. Share the gospel, just with people that look like us, right? Just with people that have the same skin color, right? Oh, no. Okay, just with people that act like us and look like us, right? No, okay. Just with people that live close to us? Just with people that are of the same socioeconomic background as us? Is that what it says? No. No, our definition says we are to share the gospel with all. We are to share the gospel with all people. Remember, the gospel is for everyone, regardless of our differences. What does the Great Commission say? Go and make disciples of, just some nations? No, go and make disciples of all nations. And you know, you're going to love this because we looked a moment ago at Jesus' own words from Acts chapter 1. And there Jesus said, "You will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." Now, on the surface, you kind of go, yeah, okay, yeah, Judea, Samaria, the ends of the earth. Okay, I got it. But I want you to think about what Jesus is telling us here. What is Jesus saying? Jerusalem. What do we know about Jerusalem? This is where an angry mob insisted that he be crucified and killed and hung on a cross. The gospel is for them. Judea. Judea rejected the ministry of Jesus. The gospel is for them. What do we know about Samaria? They hated the Samaritans, didn't they? The Jewish people hated the Samaritans. They would go to great lengths. That's the story of the Good Samaritan. They would go to great lengths to go around Samaria, to not have to set foot on Samaritan soil. They hated them. Half-breeds, mutts, they called them. The gospel is for them. And the Jewish people of that day thought that the ends of the earth, they thought in terms of Gentiles. They really did. They thought in terms of Gentiles. And the Jewish people of that day considered Gentiles as nothing more than fuel for the fires of hell. But friends, the gospel is for them. It's for everyone. Jesus loves every single person on this earth. And he wanted a witness. And He's sending us. He's sending us. As disciples of Jesus Christ, we are sent into the world to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. And He's sending us with the gospel to those who hate us, to those who reject us, to the people that we don't like, because the gospel is for them. The gospel is for everyone, friends. A disciple is sent. But much more than that, and this is what we've been talking about over the last 6 weeks, a disciple is called, one who is called by Jesus to follow Him and responds to that call and embarks upon this lifelong journey. A disciple is transformed by Jesus' teachings. A disciple seeks to live as Christ lived, the life of a servant, and a disciple seeks to share the gospel of grace and salvation with all. Now, when we began this journey to discovering what a disciple is, one of the things that we said we're going to do is a self-assessment, right? We're going to honestly look into the mirror of God's Word and answer that most important question: am I a disciple of Jesus? Well, here we are. We're at the end of our investigation, and I hope that along the way that you've been able to discern where you're at on this journey to discipleship. Because we began with the understanding, and this came right from the words of Jesus, right? Right from the mouth of Jesus, that there is action associated with discipleship. There's action associated with true belief. As a reminder, we don't do these things in order to be saved, right? That's not how this works. We do them because we are saved. Because we're saved by the shed blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. That and nothing more. That's the gospel. And friends, that's pretty simple. It's God's desire that you come to a saving knowledge of Him as Lord. He loves you so much, and He's asking you to believe in Him. He's calling you to discipleship. Friends, we're all called. We're all called. And it's my prayer that we would be a church that would answer that call, that would stand up for Jesus and share the gospel with everyone we come in contact with. Friends, what this church would look like if we all answered that call, man, it would be amazing. And we would have a profound impact on Lowell, on Northwest Indiana, and to the ends of the earth. Let's go and make disciples. And let's be disciples. Let's pray. Father God, we come to You this morning and thank You so much, Lord, for the work of the cross, for the shed blood of Jesus Christ that is our only hope and salvation. And because of that, Lord, because of that, may we all answer this call to be disciples, to follow You, to be transformed, to live lives as servants, and to share the gospel with Northwest Indiana to the ends of the earth, Lord. I pray that we would be a church that would take this seriously and that would see lives change because Hope Church cares. Father, hear our prayer, for it is in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.